So yeah, we did sustain a little bit at our house. Got a couple pieces of metal off the barn. It's got to be put back on, but my truck probably sustained the most. It took a couple limbs broadside, and unfortunately, one of them's in a really precarious spot in the cab. So we'll see what the insurance says about it. But I ain't worried about it. Not going to worry. As I think Rob was out. You said that's what insurance is for. Somebody said that this morning. That's what insurance is for. That's why we pay those premiums. And by the way, we didn't suffer one thing here on the property. There was a flower pot that belonged to somebody else in the parking lot, and that was it. So many, I don't know how many mornings I've woke up. There's a song by Whiteheart called We Need a Messiah. I wake up and it's like that song is going through my head. I'm like, I didn't even hear it. And a couple mornings I wake up and there's a different song. And God, I'm like, okay, God, you're speaking to me. For me, God speaks to me a lot through music. And so that's why I have it on all the time. She loves to listen to preaching tapes and programs. I love to listen to music. And a couple of these mornings, I woke up same time those mornings, and I woke up on fire. I'm like, okay, God, I know that there's been some times that, you know, men kind of get hot flashes as well. And, you know, but I'm like, it's not even hot. And I get up and I get cool. But I just wake up, I'm on fire. So I'm like, God, what's going on? And that song's going through my head. I'm like, God, you know more than I do. And I've been trying to study a little bit about Messiah and working on next week's message. And so I'm like trying to cut back so I don't get too far ahead of myself. But how many times do you think the word Messiah is in the Old Testament? And just shout it. Any numbers. Okay, that's what Angela said. Any others? I got 50. 200? Did I hear another? Six. Two times. That's the only times the word Messiah is actually in there. Not prophecies that are vaguely describing Messiah. Two times that the word Messiah actually shows up, and it's Messiahic, that actually shows up. You were the closest. Now, how many in the New Testament? Anybody? We got 200. You going back with six? Four? 40, oh, okay. 150. Two. That's in the book of John. I thought it would have been crazy in the Old Testament. I thought, oh, we're going to have all kinds, you know, 50, 200. I thought, yeah. I got in there, I'm like, I'm looking at my Strong's Concordance, like, two times? It's only in there two times? But we know there's lots of prophecies, don't we? You got Psalms, you got all of the, and even Daniel here, we're going to read it. Because those two times are in Daniel chapter 9, when he's getting the vision and the revelation of the 70 weeks. And so, the Messiah. The word Messiah means chosen one, or better yet, anointed one. Does anybody remember the Greek word for anointed one? Christos. Christ. Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus, the Messiah. But you see, that's not what the Jews wanted. There were those who were looking for the Messiah. There were those who had faith in a revelation, I believe, by the Holy Spirit, such as Simeon when Jesus was brought to the temple on the eighth day and he was presented. He said, I can die now. I've seen the deliverer. Here he is. He's a baby. But you know what most of the people wanted? They wanted a David running across the field with a slingshot. They wanted a Gideon running down the side of a mountain with a torch and a trumpet. They wanted a Samson knocking heads together and tying tails together. God chose to send a baby. He sent somebody to become weak like us, but who's also strong. He's a deliverer. He is all those things. See, what they want is what's coming. What they thought they wanted is exactly what Revelation describes. When he comes back, he's coming with a horse. Bible says when he comes back to rule and reign for the 1,000-year millennium, he will come back with 10,000s of 10,000s of his saints. Which, in my opinion, kind of describes that there was a taking up beforehand. Because I was like, God, why did you put this in me? This, I just want to kick butt and take names kind of attitude, right? And then I read that one day. I was like, oh, I get to come back on horseback with him. I think horseback. I'm assuming he's riding a horse. I don't know. Maybe I'll just be able to, like Superman. But the Messiah, the anointed one, he came in, he was anointed. All these people I just mentioned, David, Gideon, even Samson, all these people were anointed for their time. And the great thing is, ladies and gentlemen, we've got that same anointing. It's the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible even says, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and it lives in you, it dwells in you, it will quicken. It will restore strength to your mortal body. It doesn't mean we don't grow old. How many have figured that part out yet? I got to see my brother on our way back on Thursday, and he said he just turned 50 in November. And he said, remember what you told me about 50? I said, yeah. He said, I thought you were full of it. He said, and one morning I woke up, and he's like, it's true. I said, yeah, just something happens. I said, it doesn't mean you're dead. It just means life changed a little bit and you got to grab a different gear. And so, you know, it's going to happen. So many people keep, well, I'm going to just keep on. No, you're going to get older. That is established fact. You don't have to be out of your ever-loving mind. Okay. So anyhow, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 9, starting in verse 25. Know therefore, there's a light in the way, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there's one time, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war. Desolations are determined. So, from that time when the order has been given to restore Jerusalem, restore the temple, a lot of people have been arguments, and the other morning I got up at 4 o'clock. I'm like, okay, God, this is going through my head. I just got to start reading. And I started reading, and I got into an article written by a guy, and he was explaining these 7 and 62 weeks. And he went into such detail on the timing and the actual calculations of dates. Because, I mean, remember, we are not on the Hebrew time. They're on a different time. And there was also the Julian, so we're on Gregorian. And there was also Babylonian, which while Israel was in captivity, they adopted. Most of their names all kind of switched over to kind of line up. So they had to take things back. Even the modern computer programs would forgot that there's a reason why Israel kind of adjusted their calendar. It's because it didn't allow for a couple things. And so the computer did, but they didn't back then. And so he determined, he starts showing all this stuff and how the mathematically timing of astrological signs. And he pointed it down. He's like, boom, here's where Jesus was born. We've already discussed that. And boom, 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 boom. We got this because we know Herod. We know about when he died. We know what took place. So we know some general things about that. But then the actual death of Jesus. See, that's what I said. That's what means, let me back this up. I went too far. It's right. Messiah shall be cut off. It means he'll be no more. He's going to be here, but he's going to go. We know. He said, it's advantageous for you that I do go. So, from that point, we have the 62 weeks, or total of 69 weeks up to that point when Jesus was done with his ministry the week before. The date that he calculated and went right down to it, he said, is Nisan the 14th. I'm probably saying that wrong, but it's how it's spelled. And say, okay, but that doesn't do us any good, does it? How many has a clue what Nisan the 14th is? We don't, because we're Gregorian calendar. Go to the Gregorian calendar, and Jesus was crucified on April the 1st. Now, what's our tradition for April the 1st? April Fools. Telling lies, deception, right? Pulling jokes. And, you know, and it goes back, I think, the farthest back I found, there may have been some celebrations in the Roman times, but typically around the 1300s, it started coming up more popular. But I thought, how in line with the devil's character would he take the day that Jesus Christ died and turn it into a day that we make fools of people? Because don't you think he was like, hey, I got him. I got him. I killed him. See, the real April Fool's Day is a couple days later. Who's the fool now? Because the devil tried to make fun of this. I still love the song by Carmen, Sunday's on Its Way. I tell you, I don't care how old the song is. Every time I hear it, if you don't know it, you need to listen. Don't watch the video. It's really corny. Bad, bad cartoon drawings. But the song is awesome. Death, the grave, and devil talking. Hey, man, I got him. Oh, no, he's wrapped up. The Jew's on ice, man. Come on. Let's go party and drink up, shoot up, and hey, wait a minute. Somebody's messing with the stone. I'm starting to get a little tingly up here thinking about that. Because the Messiah resurrecting me, he now have power over death. He could never die again. The Bible tells us there's one time appointed for all men to die. But what about all those people who died and were raised? It wasn't their time. It's an appointed time. That's why it says one appointed time. Jesus had an appointed time. It was April 1st. April 1st, he died. April 2nd, he was full day. April 3rd, poof. Well, Pastor, that just don't add up. Well, first off, you need to understand, the Jews count any portion of the day already as the day is spent. Jesus himself taught, well, if you hire a man for a day's work in the morning, and you keep hiring people throughout the day, the guy hired in at an hour before you quit in time gets the same pay as the guy who worked all day. That was their custom. God carried the same thing through. He was dead before 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, the Sabbath started. Boom. There's day one, day two, day three. He was up. So, the Messiah came. But I want to read it. I'm going to go back. Let's see, where is it at? To 24. It's not going to come up here. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Those are the 70 weeks. This is what Jesus came to do. He brought an end to it. He filled the gap that we couldn't fill. Our blood couldn't do it. Our lives couldn't do it. Only his. Because it had to be blameless. So we're supposed to be living victoriously. You know what I mean? He conquered it. And there's a study I've been started doing on demons and principalities and such like that. And, you know, we've heard about the Prince of Persia, right, Daniel? 21 days I fought against the Prince of Persia, and I believe there's a few other entities, the King of Sidon, Tyre. Well, there's one mentioned right here, kind of miss. It says, and the people of the prince who is to come. See, the Romans, we know, came in 70 AD, sacked Jerusalem, burnt, tore down the temple. There was a demonic power behind that. And Daniel told of it. What we're seeing, and I believe it's the same one that's in the world today. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist meaning against the anointing. Against the anointed one. So if you wonder why the devil seems like he's coming after you, it's because you're anointed. Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, you know, we discussed this the other night in the Bible study. Sometimes you don't know right off the bat what it is until there's a season in your life that's done. And then boom, oh, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do. Looking back, I realized in my childhood, God was prepping me the whole time to be here. I'm not going to lie, my first couple times standing up in front of people, it was like, things again. Now I don't even think about it. And so we are living in such a wonderful time. Oh, but Pastor, there's wars. Oh, yeah, there are. There's wars and rumors of wars and things going on, and I'm getting excited. There's earthquakes. We've got meteors. That's just in Ohio. We got blizzards and tornadoes and all kinds of things. And I know every last one of you, when that storm came in the other night, I mean, Katie sent us a message, hey, if you guys aren't home yet, you might want to be praying over your property. And we didn't have, we kind of lost some internet. We didn't have good internet right then, so we couldn't see where things were really going. It was like, okay, that's where it was supposed to be 3 hours ago, and it kind of froze. And it's like, okay. Well, I can tell you, yep, I heard it. It's like, yeah, that's loud. And then, you know, the other night, we were down there, we prayed. I sat and, you know, comforted the dog, and he was like, nope, calm down, buddy. And it was just a peace. They're sitting in a dark basement. And said, yeah, one of us can run a light. We need both of these because it'd be a couple hours yet. But you see, that anointing to be able to pray and declare nothing. What the devil meant for harm, God protected. Well, Pastor, your truck took some damage. Yeah, we'll see what God's going to do out of this. At the bare minimum, the worst side of my truck gets fixed and painted. There was a big scratch on it. There we go. Problem solved. And it'll look really good. But that anointing goes for things in our lives as well. The battles that you face. Maybe you got a temper. A temper can actually be a good thing, but if you fly off the handle at people, it's not good. It's called patience. You have to be long-suffering. Where do you think we'd be if God had that kind of temper? We know he's got wrath. I mean, how long did it take for, he said, oh, we're going to flood it, I'm done. Well, let's see. Adam was 930 years, and I think he died maybe a year or so before the flood actually took place. So many of the patriarchs at that point, they died just within a year or two of it. Enoch, he was taken. And yet, he's still putting up with us. But see, he's putting up with us because there's a blessing. We have that anointing that his son has. He sent it to us. We have a part of God living in us. Now, I know if you stop and think about it really long, you mean I'm possessed? I guess it's kind of the same concept, except you have the Holy Ghost. You have the goodness of God. And you have the power of God. Declare, nothing shall come nigh. Yeah, a little minor damage. It's nothing big. And we need to understand, sometimes we don't totally get out of the storm. Jesus is walking on the water in the middle of a storm. The disciples are crying. Jesus is like, come on. This is the second time, guys. Where's your faith? We need the Messiah. We need that anointed one. And as much as we need him, it was Jesus himself who said, it is more to your advantage that I go so that this anointing can come upon you. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, every last one of us can walk in that anointing. We can walk in the authority of Jesus Christ through God's power, through that anointing right there, the very same anointing that raised Jesus from the dead. That's what we can walk in. And it's all because of what he did. They didn't expect the king riding in on a donkey. They wanted the king riding in on the big white stallion. Battle armor, saying, I'm going to take Rome down, right? That's what we all want. We want, let's just go kick butt and take names. That's kind of easy from an American standpoint. I mean, right now at the moment, there is not a military in the world that could stand against us. They could give us a fight, maybe give us a run for their money. But that's a different position. Jesus came humbly as a child. He grew. The Bible says he grew in stature and he grew in favor with men. And then he became literally became anointed and started doing things. Provided provision when there was no provision. Needed tax money? Go fishing. I can get behind that. I need taxes? Let's go fishing. Right now you go fishing, it costs you money. So, but Peter, go do what you did. That's basically what I did. Go do what you do. The first fish, open its mouth, and there's a coin in his mouth. How many of you, if somebody told you that, would say, you're nuts. There's a coin in its mouth. Peter went and did it. Pulled up the fish and was like, it's got tax money in its mouth. And I got lunch. Twofer. That anointing is why Jesus had to go. The eliminating sin. Sin's still here, right? We know that. It still exists. But it does not have to hold us any longer. As I was reading up earlier in chapter 9 there of Daniel, Daniel was confessing his sins before the Lord for that part of the day. And then he was going to have an evening sacrifice. And Gabriel came and stood before him and said, hey, God, you are loved specially by God. Calls him beloved. This is Daniel. This is a man who would stand in the face of death with lions, trusting his God. He would lead a small group of men who would say, we're not bowing. And it was all because of that anointing. The Messiah he prophesied, he believed in. But the religious people didn't want to believe in that because they wanted to deal with it. As long as they could control this narrative, they could control the people. But there were people they couldn't control. Jesus asked Peter, he said, who do the people say I am? Well, some of them say you're a prophet. Some of them say you're this or that. He says, okay, Peter, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father revealed it to you by his Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit revealed that, it was a revelation that Peter would never forget. Yeah, he's going to deny him. Peter still had some things to get out. I'm going to help you out here. Just because you keep going back to the fight, keep fighting. Don't quit. Peter had some more things to get out, and later on, Peter still had some religiosity to get out. of all the people to teach against, you think would be going against religion? Peter's like, no, you need to be circumcised. Paul's like, we've discussed this, Peter. No, you do not. It doesn't avail anything anymore. Because of what the Messiah did, the anointed one. He came so that, I think I've asked this before, but I don't know if there's anybody in here who has any Jewish descent. Jesus did that so we all could be called the sons and daughters of God. My relatives, they worshiped sticks and rocks. Yours probably did too, just differently. What Jesus did gave us the victory. We don't have to be attached to that forever. You're free from it. Whatever it was. Lying, cheating, stealing. I mean, come on. There were people in the Bible that was kind of borderline murder. Look at Judah and the whole Tamar incident. They made a covenant with somebody, got them all to circumcise themselves. 3 days later, when they're good and tender, they went in and killed them all. In my book, that's murder. You made a covenant. If Caleb and I, we come to an agreement in a covenant, and I break the covenant, I'm the sinner. Those men did nothing wrong. That's what happened. That's not saying there's not repercussions to happen that are going to come about. It's just saying, I'm the one who sinned. I broke the covenant. Samson broke the covenant. So, Jesus came and he repaired that covenant. We have a new covenant. That's actually what Old Testament and New Testament mean. Old covenant, new covenant. We have an entirely new covenant. That's why we celebrate. I'm not going to be sorrowful this week. Oh, I must live it. No. I'm celebrating a resurrected, victorious king. A Messiah who delivered me. And I have to think, okay, Lord, I know the things I've battled. I've shared with you many times. I know the things I've battled. God, what did you spare me from? What did you keep me from having to experience? I know the stories I've heard through my family tree about people, things that they did or may not have done. We don't know. I mean, you got a little family folklore. Oh, don't go near Aunt so-and-so. She's crazy. She killed a man. Well, they say my great-great-grandma, she was a moonshiner. They say that there's a revenue missing. When you got mountains and caves and coal mines in West Virginia, it's a very good possibility. But I don't know. It's folklore. Come to find out, a lot of stuff was just that. Folklore. But I've been delivered from whatever was done. Things that I'll never have to carry. Because God cut the cord. Things that I did have to deal with, well, I was going to have to deal with them. Just all there is to it. And because of Jesus Christ, I'm the overcomer. But the Messiah we need is the one who separated us from all that iniquity. Because I believe we're going to come back, and I believe we're going to start seeing some things happening faster than you can even imagine. There's so many things lining up. And again, I'm going to tell you, people get ready. He's a-coming. He's going to call his people up. I don't know when, and I've told you this before, I'm not even going to try. I don't care. It's nothing for us to argue about. We all have a little bit of belief that different things. But what we do and had better agree on, he's coming back to take his bride. And then he's coming back to rule and reign. And you know what the sad part about that whole ruling and reigning? There will be people that will not believe. There's people that's not going to believe that he's the Savior, he's the King of Kings, that he is God in the flesh. They will not believe it. How? So if that's the case, you know, we always, Paul taught that if he ascended, that means he descended. You know, there's an argument that says, well, he came from heaven to earth. That is a descension. But he's talking about into the grave, into Hades, death. He descended down there. And we're assuming he preached the truth. And that when he resurrected, people got to be free. Seriously, could anybody not, hearing the preaching, believe? Even the demons knew who he was. He's our Messiah. We need that Messiah. We need the Messiah who loved the unlovable, who loved Mary Magdalene, who loved Zacchaeus, who climbed a tree. Wee little Zacchaeus, as the song went. I'm having dinner at your house tonight. Yeah, I get it. Nobody likes you. But I love you, and I'm going to have dinner. The same Jesus who on two different occasions made whips, went into the temple, and cleaned house. Now, I'm going to tell this story. And I love it. I love it, Kayla. She had to do something. You know, we do have a policy here. This is not a business venture. But somebody needed to pick up a cake. And she says, I'll meet you at church. And Jason's like, oh, you better watch it. Pastor's going to turn over tables now. And I laughed. I thought, well, yeah. I said, no, because they just picked it up in the car outside. Okay. I said, but that's interesting that you said that. I said, I was just reading, I think, in Matthew's gospel about that. He said, you have made my house a house of merchandise. Not just a den of thieves, merchandise. Yeah, Lord, I can't tell you how many. I know pastors that were making plans on putting restaurants. They've got coffee shops. Coffee's free. Coffee's free. We pay for it. Have a cup of coffee. God bless you. Some days I need that coffee. Sometimes I just may need to pour it over my head. I don't know, but. And it just reaffirmed to me we went the right direction. Well, Pastor, you charge for the mints. Listen, if you don't have the money for the mints, we'll give you the mints. I don't care. But just understand all the when you buy mints, it just pays for the mints. That's all it does. It just paid for the price of the mints. And you have fresh breath. Because you just drank coffee. But you see, that's what has happened. That anointing came over him and he went in and he cleaned it. They were robbing people. They were exchanging money for different rates, selling the offerings for more than they should have been. And by the way, none of that should have been taking place in the temple. It was now common. What do you think holy means? Separate. Set apart. We're a holy people. Yes, we're supposed to be different. Yeah, you're still going to go out and get gas. You're still going to go out to the grocery store. You're still going to show up in Walmart. But you're different. People should know you're different. We was talking to our daughter-in-law, Tony, last night, and she was, I think her dad, they went down to Memphis. They wanted to see Graceland, right? So many people, oh, yeah, go Graceland. Does anybody know what Memphis is known for right now? Crime. It's the worst crime city in the United States, above Chicago. And they went into the Bass Pro Shop, and the guy says, you're not from around here, are you? He's like, no. And he said, I'll tell you what, stay on your course and do not get out of your car. And do not stay in town. You will get robbed. They knew they weren't from there. That's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be, when the world walks out, the demons come up and say, hey, why are you here? Because of that anointing. Because of what Jesus did for us. That's what we're supposed to be. That's why he came. Jew, Gentile, none of that matters anymore. What matters is that the Holy Spirit is on you. He lives inside you, and he's saying, hey, Art, you know what? Maybe you ought to turn the TV off and go to the basement. The dog had no problem with it. He was with her. They were in the basement. Well, if I got to. I mean, I hear Johnny was standing outside looking out this door. Monica was sitting in her living room. Now, to be honest with you, I mean, I do have 11 giant cottonwoods and a great big cherry tree that after the last storm, I said, it may need to come down. But I did have a maple, a young maple tree that had twisted and it blew it apart. I'm like, I've never seen a tree do that, especially a young, healthy tree. I see all these trees, most of them are pine trees that are uprooted, shallow roots. But the bigger ones it took, you can see the centers were gone. This is a maple tree this big around, and it's kind of like a really dry Thanksgiving turkey. Just kind of looks bad. But we prayed. We prayed on the way up, Lord, if we don't make it, there's nothing going to happen. Because we were getting messages, hey, be careful, the storm coming in. We're like, yeah, we don't know what time. We slid right in about an hour and a half before we got in. And oh, thank you, Lord, it is. I mean, mind you, we left 80-plus degrees down there. And it was still 78 when I picked up the dog. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm liking this. And then shortly thereafter, it went. So I will not fear what the devil's trying to bring. Because I'm a child of God now. Because of what Jesus Christ, because I needed a Messiah. He came not riding on a gallant stallion. He came riding a donkey, a fool's animal, a beast of burden. That's what our Messiah. Yeah. 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 We corporately, you know, we were all in our own homes, but corporately we were bond. That's what I need. You need to understand. God is not stopped because you can't hold hands with somebody. Amen. We are one in the Spirit. The Spirit is everywhere. We were praying for everybody in our church, our family. Amen. We were praying for us. You were praying for us. You were praying for your family. We were all doing the exact same thing. It's the same Holy Spirit. And storms rose up to counteract the storm that was going to rock our world. I'll tell you something. Johnny was telling me the other day that he said, I got this meteorologist I always follow because he's spot on. He's following all these sensors and stuff. And he's like, this guy ain't got nothing more than the weather service has. He said, and they're not very good. And he's like, this guy's usually bingo. He shows you right where the storms are going. He can follow the funnels. He said, I can't get him. Don't know what's going on. And Johnny said, I found out all of those sensors that would follow that in the state of Ohio that could show you the actual funnels were down. We went into that thing blind. A couple pieces of metal, some tree limbs, a tree, a couple dents, nothing. I don't have any hail damage on my truck, but we heard it. I mean, we're in the basement, and it's like, well, there's hail. A little bit later, went upstairs, like, well, as late as it is, I think I'm going to go to bed. We ain't got no lights, got no internet. Might as well go to bed and sleep. So that's just it, folks. That anointing, we could corporately, and I've not heard of any major damage to anybody, and if you do and you need help, hey, we're a family. So, let's stand. I'm glad to hear. Yeah, I didn't know that about the storms, that they were. Yeah. That's my God. That's my God. Why doesn't it make sense he'd use a storm to? Don't ever question how God does something. One time he'll provide fish and loaves just miraculously, and another time you have to go fishing. Don't question God. That's the way I'll leave it at it. Just marvel at the amazement of how powerful God is. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you that you sent a Messiah, because we need a Messiah. We needed the one to break all strongholds of sin. Father, we thank you for that. Father, we do receive what Jesus Christ did in our lives. Father, those who may be struggling with their past or even their yesterday, Lord, help them to understand it's broken. Father, I thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, that mercy, your patience, Lord. We all do. And Father, we thank you for the corporate anointing. The same anointing that rested upon Jesus is with us. It's in us, Father. We are here. We can come together and we can pray. And Lord, and just like that, you raised up storms to go after the big one that was going to do major damage. Father, we thank you. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray now that you help us all, especially this week, not to walk in grief and sorrow over what Jesus did, but to rejoice in the victory that you raised him up victoriously. Lord, help us all to walk in that victory. And now, Father, I bless your people today. Lord God, I know many of them are walking different paths that they didn't think they'd be walking a year ago or even a week ago. But Father, I thank you that you're going to continue to lead them and guide them through each and every step. In Jesus' name, amen.